And welcome, everybody. Welcome to Common Sense Revisited on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are live today, Saturday, April 13th, 2013. I'm your co-host, Todd McGreevy. I'm being joined by Corey Ibe. Hi, Corey.
Waving a hand to you, Todd. How are you this morning?
We're doing great. We're here in Scott County, Iowa. Got a little overcast day, but we can still see the river from here, and it's good to be alive.
Absolutely a beautiful day above ground, although here in Orange County it is overcast, rare overcast day, but waving a hand to you from the river of traffic known as Alicia Boulevard on Monday through Friday.
Well, we also want to welcome the listeners on the No Agenda stream at noagendastream.com. And, of course, we encourage everybody to check out republicbroadcasting.org. That is the website of the broadcasting organization here. And you can find archives to all the great shows you hear in RBN there. And you can join a live chat at noagendastream.com as well. So we welcome all those listeners and in the morning to all the No Agenders. Another little sidebar, Corey. You know, folks, don't forget if you're traveling and it's easier for you to listen to the RBN via phone. You can call 619-550-0901. That's 619-550-0901. You can tune in right from your phone. As a good friend of mine says, another dummy with a smartphone. So, Corey, you've been a busy beaver. I've been a busy beaver, been trying to work hard on things, and we're going to have a break here in just a minute. We'll have our first station break, but you've had some visitors to your website that look interesting as well. You're able to track checking out CoreyIbe.com. That's Corey's site, by the way, CoreyIbe.com. And, of course, you can check out his YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/CoreyIbe. And for new listeners, you know, our focus on Common Sense Revisited, you know, we discuss history, we discuss the law, we look at previous documents, we look at current statutes, we look at current situations in the respective states. But our ultimate goal of all the actions we take is to, A, provide action steps people can take, not just complain about problems, but actually take action steps. And we want to protect our property and our labor. That is our number one goal.
And we want to do that via process outlined in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we want to enforce that contract.
Absolutely.
The Constitution. That is that, and the oaths that people take to uphold those Constitution, whether it's in the state where you live or the Constitution for the United States of America. So, I mean, it's, you know, overarching, the big macro deal is that it is you know, it's a simple matter. We want to protect our property and labor and enforce contracts. And the rest of it gets a little detailed. And somebody said that this stuff gives them a headache in the past, haven't they, Corey?
Absolutely. I've had more than one person tell me, oh, I'm getting a headache. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It means you're learning something in this case.
So have a tall glass of water with you, right next to you while you're listening to Common Sense Revisited. You know, hydrate yourself, you know, for goodness sakes, you know, hydrate while you're listening to the show. If you want to pick up some links to some of the things we're talking about, you can go to thirdrailblog.com. That's thirdrailblog.com. You'll find, what we call show links for previous shows, the things we talk about. We embed, videos there. We put links to the PDFs that we're sourcing, any type of current event that we're talking about. We'll put links there as well. And so there's some housekeeping, folks. We appreciate you tuning into Common Sense Revisited. And Corey and I will return, and we'll talk about the latest efforts we've made where we live and to change behavior of government. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes. There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we're back, Corey, back on Common Sense Revisited. And so, Corey, you know, you and I have been doing this show together since, I think, last fall, I believe. I can't remember when we started working together every week.
Time flies when you have fun, huh?
Yeah. And I find, you know, and when I, you know, one of the things that you've inspired me about and been an example about is how we identify ourselves. You know, do you identify yourself as government property or not? And people don't realize, many people listening to the show may realize, we hope, that they, you know, if you are driving around with a government-issued ID and namely a driver's license, and you are and you consider yourself a resident of the state where you live, when you sign up for all the different things we all apply for in our lives, and it's vast and deep, that you're just conscripting yourself to be a piece of property, right?
That's exactly it.
And it's a tough thing to, you know, this is why we talk about the show gives you a headache. You know, it's like you are a piece of property controlled by the District of Columbia and the DC and the exclusive legislative jurisdiction therein. And it extends into the outlying provinces, if you will, where I live here in Iowa, where you live in California, because what we consider to be our representative government is really a subsidiary franchise or corporation of the parent corp in D.C., the administrative corporation. And because of that relationship, that exclusive legislative authority over us as a piece of property extends into where we live because we have conscripted to be a piece of property.
That's exactly it. You know, in California, that transition happened when the people approved the Constitution of 1879, which is what the state operates off of. And back in that time period, the local government was, corrupt, and there was really a difficult time trying to rein it in. And one way of doing that was having Washington, D.C., which at the time was the absolute beacon of freedom around the world. Washington, D.C. was considered, if you could meet the standards of a G-man back then, you were on top of your game. And it now makes sense to me why the people of California would pass a constitution like that and then turn over the business of government to a foreign jurisdiction, which is Washington, D.C., which is foreign to a state. We're all part of the same country. We just have a whole bunch of states that get together and kind of pool their resources in a way to that ended up launching us to becoming a superpower. And so over a period of 100 and some odd years, at least here in California, we have a government that's completely out of control, because when the people did approve that constitution, it's a deal with a very difficult and troublesome servant, because if you become subject to their jurisdiction, they have complete administrative control over everything in their dominion, and that's right in the Constitution. But it is voluntary when they're outside their 10 square miles for people who are domiciled in the republic in which they live.
Domiciled in the original so-called free state, the original Constitution for the state of Iowa from 1846, talks about a free government.
Yes. And the way I, for me personally, the way I approach that, there's a lot of people spend a lot of time arguing on what's a state and everything else. For me, it's pretty simple. If it was one of the republics that were that entered into the Union prior to the Civil War, it's pretty easy for me to prove with the legal decisions at hand what that state is and what kind of rights the people of that state have, as well as the responsibilities. So I just approach it kind of like, for me, the United States looks like it did in 1861.
And, you know, so subsequently circling back to my original statement about how do you identify yourself? Do you identify yourself as property or not? And the first step is to create your own common law identification, your non-political ID. And we've talked about this many times on the show. There's a video out there, folks. It's seven minutes long, that Corey put together. That's a quick tutorial. They even have links at his YouTube video where he's explaining it, that gives you a template that you can use as your own foundation to create your own. And a good friend of mine drove up yesterday, Corey, who listens to the show a lot and has studied all this, and we made our IDs, and we went and got them notarized, and we're getting ready to get them apostilled next week. So finally, I can consider myself on the pathway to being one of the people of Iowa.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
I think it's awesome. It's looking back on it, it's really pretty easy, isn't it? I
mean, it is. And it's kind of
not that big a deal.
I think it is a big deal.
The legal impact of it is absolutely phenomenal, but the physical task of creating it is not that big a deal.
No, it's not. And especially for somebody who has published a newspaper for 20 years, you know, I should be able to lay out my own ID, you know. So technically I can see where some people, you know, have a challenge, you know, quote, creating it. But if you can operate, you know, Microsoft Word or Open Office, you know, you can create this ID.
And I want to make sure everybody knows that right off the bat, we'll talk about the power legally that this ID has, but it is really important for people to know it's not a silver bullet. It's not something that is going to allow you to break the law. You don't get away with anything by having that ID. It just allows you to enter into a different jurisdiction and follow a set of rules that favor the people rather than administrative government.
And with it comes great responsibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic responsibility that, although I think everybody should have one of these, not everybody's situation is conducive to, you know, making that transition into a different political jurisdiction. There's definite responsibilities. There's, there's certain drawbacks. For me personally, I can't imagine ever being subject to administrative rule ever again. I just can't imagine that.
But in order for you to not be subject to administrative rule, Corey, you have had to fiercely defend your situation.
Constantly. Always. Every time I engage with government, I'm very careful about the words I use. I'm very respectful of the authority that they do have, both as in the administrative form of government as well as in the Republican side of government. The people delegated authority, their supreme sovereign authority from the people was delegated to these offices, and the men and women who inhabit those offices, whether you like them or not, they do have a tremendous amount of authority, and it's important to respect that. So I'm very careful about how I approach government and deal with it in that manner.
And I think the nuance is the folks that you engage are not used to dealing with somebody who is actually behaving as a peer, and moreover, actually the master. They being the government, the GovCo employees, are used to being the master over the slaves.
Well, it's easier to run government when it works that way, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Heck yes.
I mean, I really don't blame them for thinking that way. The people have let them do it for more than 100 years, and it's pretty difficult for them to all of a sudden have to be in a subservient position to the people who are on the other side of the window.
In one of your attended documents at your video about common law ID, you have a passage there about how somebody in the mid-1800s would identify themselves or how they would. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, I mean, back in the what do I seek to accomplish is basically being a good citizen of California in 1860. And doing everything I can to, at that point, there was already, I would say, corruption. Just from what I've read, corruption was pretty well entrenched in local government. And it's always up to the people. Whatever country you live in, it is up to the people to hold your government to a certain standard. And if that government deviates from that standard, then ultimately it's the people's fault. Because there's a lot more people than there is government. And it's their job to make sure their nation is, and those that run the organs of government are behaving properly. So looking at that from that perspective, somebody who would have had a mid-size or greater business and had some decent resources, I mean, right now with access to the internet, have more resources than probably one of the wealthiest men in California at the time. So there's a real advantage. But in 1860, you would certainly have a way to identify yourself for being able to do commerce throughout the country, a way that people could trust that identification. If they didn't know you, they would be able to look at something and say, well, somebody from government has verified the authenticity of this document. And I could make a decision based on working with you whether or not you kind of fit into the community, as far as had you established yourself as somebody who was honorable. That's the way I seek to approach government, is from that position. And when I look at it from that point of view, I've found I'm able to get a lot more accomplished. I have had several contacts with local law enforcement, and all of them have been positive. I mean, it's really worked in, because I'm always looking to follow the rules. Well, at the same time, if they break the rules, we're going to go talk to a judge about it.
And you know, some skeptics may look at this as like, what are these people talking about? I mean, they're making their own IDs, and they're talking about 1800s. This is just, these guys are nuts. And I think it's important to point out that the Supreme Court case Texas versus White stipulated that these jurisdictions do coexist, correct?
They do. Yeah, that's how I see it. I certainly use that, and no one's challenged me on it yet.
Maybe because it's unchallengeable, Corey. We've got to take a quick break, folks. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more Common Sense Revisited on RBN and a No Agenda Stream. Take care.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right. The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Well, I think, Todd, maybe your microphone is muted. Welcome back, everybody. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be back on the air in just a minute. But what we were talking about was making a common law ID and how to identify yourself. You back on now, Todd? Independent radio. Okay, no problem. Well, the common law ID is used in a way to identify yourself as being one of the people of the state in which you live in and or domiciled in. And you have a choice to identify yourself as one of the people or identify yourself as a resident and be able to receive government benefits. The ability to identify yourself as one of the people allows you to engage with government in a different manner. Okay, so it looks like Todd is being reconnected. I'm sorry, everybody. This is why we have Todd on the show, because I'm certainly much better at writing letters to government than I am hosting a radio show, so I apologize. Anyway, I know Todd had a friend, we had a chance to discuss it just a little bit before the show. Todd had a friend who came up and actually made his identification. So the next step of what to do, just to be able to engage with government in a very low-risk, high-reward manner. Oh, he's back on. I'm really glad.
Corey, were you swimming alone out there?
Well, you know, this whole radio show thing is, if I have a script, no problem. Or if I can sit back and write a letter, give me an hour or two to do that. But boy, thinking on my feet, that hurts. I got a headache.
Yes, it's a different exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah, it's a lot different. Well, so what did I miss?
Well, basically, we're just talking about the idea of identifying yourself through a different document. And the process you go to create that document, it's something that, other than the picture, it's a form or a type of document that a competent businessman would have used back in 1860 to identify himself, to be able to do commerce, go to his bank. If he needed to engage with government, they would ask who you are. You'd show them your identification, but it'd be something you created because in 1860, the DMV didn't exist. Social Security didn't exist. All these alphabet agencies that now provide identification services for you, they didn't exist. So you had to make it on your own.
And the common law ID we're talking about, folks, is fairly simple. I mean, it's not very extensive. It lists your given name and your family name. And your nationality, which is American, and your domicile, you know, not your residency, your domicile. And, you know, I'm domiciled in Iowa, 1846. That's when Iowa was formed as a state. That was its first constitution, authorized by the people, ratified by the people. And that's where I choose to domicile. And subsequently, you know, and this isn't a silver bullet either. I mean, it lists our, you know, height, weight, you know, hair, eyes, all that. That's pretty much as a courtesy, right, Corey?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. All of that's just a courtesy, kind of giving people who you are. And, yeah. I mean, it's up to you. When you make your own ID, you're the one that decides what you're going to put on there. You know?
True.
That's how it works. It's just how do you want to identify yourself? And what they don't teach us in schools anymore is the true history of our country. Everybody's taught that the state we have today is the only state. I mean, that's it. Well, the way the government operates is off of 50 administrative states plus one district. And those 50 administrative states, some of those are businesses hired by the sovereign republics that make up this nation. Other areas are what appear to be unorganized territories and territories. So you take those three different jurisdictions, they've all kind of hired this administrative state run through Washington, D.C. to perform the functions of government. But once you're in that administrative state, you have some real protections and you also have, you know, benefits and it's easy to bank and everything else. It just is easier to work in the system until the system becomes abusive. And, I mean,
then you find yourself, then you find yourself on the side of the road getting a cavity search.
Well, there you go. Exactly. And then, and that, at that point, now it's time for the people to say, look, you're not doing such a good job. I think we can do it ourselves better than you and cheaper than you. And the pendulum swings back the other way. And that's where we're headed with this, is being able to identify yourself of having a political status superior to these problematic statutes that are bothering everybody.
And it's the problematic statutes are just have evolved over the years to be completely draconian. I mean,
no, there's millions of them. And it just is insane. I you know, at the Sheriff's Convention where you and I met, I think it was the police chief, from Florida that we met. He explained there's 12,000 that year, 12,000 new rules overall that he now had to enforce. And the question is, how in the world are you going to enforce that? I mean, it's no wonder that Congress has a lower approval rating by the people than gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea. Oh my. Well, on that note, we're going to take the first hour, bottom half of the hour break, folks, and we'll be right back and revisit some more common sense here with Corey Ibe and your host, Todd McGreevy. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls? You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling. And with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days? And keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee. And it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet. And we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. HeartandBody.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Broadcasting Network in the morning to the folks listening on noagendastream.com. So we've got a caller on hold, Corey. We're gonna circle back to Joey in Arkansas here in just a second. I want to put a little wrap on this discussion of this common law ID, because just because I created it and had a notary notarize it, you know, the notary notarized that I am, you know, their presence signing that I'm subscribing to this instrument, essentially, is what the technical term is. There's still another step that you have perfected, which is not a secret or anything. There's a mechanism called an apostille, which is spelled A-P-P-O-S-T-I-L-E, I believe, right?
Yes, and I pronounced it wrong for a long time, calling it an apostle certificate, and I had a kind lady at the Secretary of State gently let me know that it was really pronounced apostille. So I appreciate the correction from the Secretary of State for sure. But yes, the apostille, what that does is now having that notary authenticated, it is a public act, and the Constitution outlines that public act now has the full faith and credit of the United States. In other words, wherever you take it, it is a document that speaks for itself. You don't have to tell a judge what it is. He can look at it and know that everything is authentic in that. And now it's up to you to pay attention to your responsibilities that you have as one of the American people. Is your ID that you have, or is that person that you've identified yourself as, bound through contract to the political jurisdiction of D.C.?
Critical distinction, and I want to put a little finer point on the apostille. The process is that you mail a copy or take it to your Secretary of State office in the state capital where you live, or you mail it in, and there's a fee. I think it's $5 or something like that. There's forms online you can find. And people get notarized documents apostilled, you know, relatively frequently. This isn't like some kind of, you know, off-the-wall thing. You know, this is a process that people go through.
Absolutely. In fact, if you're doing business in another country, quite often you'll need to get something authenticated. And that is through treaty with the Hague Convention. So the Secretary of State will offer you an apostille or authentication services for either inside the United States or outside the United States. And for international jurisdiction, you would obviously get an apostille certificate that that is compliant with the international standards.
And really, the apostille is not alleging or making a subjective or any kind of statement about what the information is on your ID. It's just stating that the notary that notarized your ID is in good standing.
Exactly. That's all it is. It just says the notary was in good standing at the time, and the notary's stamp and signature match the ones that are on file.
Absolutely. So it's just another little, you know, piece of the puzzle here to be able to engage government properly. And so I think we're and then beyond that, and Joey's still on hold. We're going to get to him here, Joey in Arkansas. Beyond that, though, you know, this it's not the magic bullet like we talked about earlier. You know, we have other contracts out there that we have to go correct.
Exactly.
Many of them, unfortunately.
Don't go make an ID and start storming down somewhere saying "We the people" and shaking your hand and you know all of that, because it definitely takes a deeper understanding of the nuances of government and jurisdiction to be able to use that ID in a competent manner. There's some very simple things, and we'll talk about that, but some very simple, low risk, high reward activities that you can do to kind of learn better how government works and be able to see these different jurisdictions that are part of what make up our country.
Let's go to Joey, who's been holding in Arkansas. Are you there, Joey?
Yeah, hi. Hey, Corey, what's the difference between American citizen and U.S. citizen? If there is any.
Well, I mean, first off, let me tell you, the absolute right place to ask that question is the United States Department of State. They're the ones that will have the final authority on all of it. So I can tell you what I think it might be, but your best bet, if you're serious about that, is to send them a letter and ask them the difference. So
okay,
from my perspective, what's that?
Because I just recently signed a contract. It's actually a marriage contract, right? So part of the license asks for your citizenship. And I put U.S. citizen on there because that's really what I am. I volunteered for it. And they rejected it and said, and put American on there. So I'm thinking, what's the difference?
They rejected you claiming to be a U.S. citizen and wanted you to claim being an American citizen?
Yeah. And that was the legal status that they accepted.
Joey, who are you dealing with that when you say
okay,
they,
okay, I should have prefaced it. This is a foreign country.
Oh, a foreign country. A foreign country, if you look at, they're going to deal with you based on your passport. So that's how most people engage with a foreign country. And your citizenship is the United States of America. You're an American national when you're dealing in international jurisdiction that way. At least that's how I see it. But again, the right people to ask is the United States Department of State. You can send them a letter, and I really encourage you to do it. It's a great way to get to know how government works, is to ask them form your question into a single paragraph. You know, they get a lot of paperwork, so you want yours to be answered right away instead of them putting it in a stack somewhere. Just make it a very simple question, send it off to them, and they'll respond. But I bet that the foreign country, by treaty, needs to deal with you as an American national.
Okay, because that's essentially what they did. They rejected the U.S. citizenship status and made me turn in a new form with the word American citizen on there.
Yeah, that would make sense to me, because the U.S. citizenship is really important while you're dealing with laws and internal contests that we have with administrative government, that term U.S. citizenship is a very important distinction. But outside the country, if you're dealing with the United States of America and a foreign sovereign country. You have a different, those words are really important the way they use that. So the foreign country isn't going to deal with you as a U.S. citizen by the nature of the relationship of the family of nations and how they deal with each other. They need to see you as an American national, just like they would, regardless of whether you're a resident of California or one of the people of California. We're all going to be seen as American nationals to another sovereign nation.
So, hey, so could I use that as a jumping off platform or a point? Since they officially recognize me as an American national?
Well, it, that's not really going to do you any good internally. I mean, they recognize you an American national around the world, but internally, inside this country, your political status is determined really by a form of contract. If you've emigrated here, you've signed a contract to become a U.S. citizen. If you were born here, then you have contractual elements that turn you into U.S. citizen and subject to administrative rule.
So, hey, what about you? Are you married?
Why? Are you single?
Well, it's irrelevant because how was your status then after marriage? Because isn't the marriage a contract?
Yeah, it is a contract, and before I had made a transition in politically within my domicile here in California, I've been married and divorced, and so none of that was in effect. But I can tell you I don't need a marriage license. And if you go and watch a wedding, quite often they'll ask, are you here to perform a civil marriage? If I were the one standing up there, I would say absolutely not. I'm there to participate in holy matrimony. That would be my response. There's no license needed for that.
So by virtue of getting a license, you're basically saying you want a civil marriage, right?
Exactly.
You're under a civil marriage.
That would be my impression of it. Now, the birth certificate can get married if they want. You know, that's fine, but I don't identify myself as the person on the birth certificate.
Okay, well, that was kind of confusing to me when they rejected that form saying I'm a U.S. citizen and they wanted me to put on their American citizen.
It just shows you that there are citizenship in the United States is very complicated. If you look at a passport application, it'll tell you right on there, citizenship in the United States is complicated. So citizenship is affected by contract, by international treaty. There's all sorts of different nuances to know. And the one that everybody gets, the lowest common denominator, is U.S. citizenship. But that's a lower form of citizenship than what foreign jurisdictions can recognize you as.
Okay, so I might just do that then, write the State Department and let them explain why, you know, that particular situation.
And when you get an answer, call us back.
Okay.
Verify it, because that helps everybody. I mean, that's a fantastic question and just a great way to learn how the government works.
There's a lot of Americans that are foreign nationals, so that is relevant, really, today.
Absolutely. It's absolutely relevant and could be an incredibly important piece of information for our listeners. So, Joey, definitely call back.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Joey. It's a good segue into this whole passport discussion. You know, it wasn't until I started doing the show with you that I didn't really start looking at my passport, Corey. And, you know, it says right there, surname and given names right on the passport. It doesn't say first and last name like your typical GovCo issued ID says.
Exactly. It's given and surname, and words are incredibly important. Just like Joey brought out, if you get the words wrong, a lot of people would say, well, what's the difference between a U.S. citizen and an American citizen? Well, to the country that he was doing business with, apparently it was pretty important. And if you, as one of the inhabitants of the United States of America, if you don't think that's important, well, then you're probably going to end up with the lowest common denominator because it is the most profitable for all these alphabet soup agencies we have.
Oh, yeah. Not only are you a piece of property, you're a human resource that feeds their job, their pension plan, their benefits, their vacation, their cars, everything. It's incredible.
You are job security for a bureaucrat.
I have had a county attorney tell me that to my face, that he has job security.
Yep.
And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the document, the passport, you know, to my knowledge, the word U.S. citizen is not on here anywhere. Now, that doesn't mean that you got a pass, that you're automatically one of the people. It says nationality, United States of America. You know, and on my common law ID, it says nationality, I say American.
Yeah.
But the key is the application for the passport, is it not?
I certainly approach government very carefully, with just an abundance of caution whenever I'm filling out an application.
And on those documents, when you're applying for something, whether it's a birth certificate, a copy of birth certificate, a new Social Security card, a driver's license, anything.
A hunting license, a fishing license.
Yep.
I mean, just anything from the government is something that I take a lot of caution when I'm filling out those applications.
And subsequently, you want to make sure that when you fill those applications out, you're not conscripting yourself back into that U.S. citizenship inadvertently.
Exactly. And, you know, and I find myself at odds quite often with, you know, people of like mind based on these contracts. Their position is that they're all fraudulent. And I'll say, okay, well, maybe they're not applicable. The intent and the morality behind a lot of them may be certainly fraudulent, but basically the letter of the law, which you have to take, almost just take morality out of it, and just what does the contract say? And if you've bound yourself either via political pledging or contract or any number of actions that you can do, then the rules are set up in a way where you're subject to now all of a sudden millions of statutes, and you have to be very careful about that.
So, like I said earlier, it's a lot of responsibility, unfortunately, and it's not convenient. And
in fact, I would go so far as to say it's not convenient that for the past three or four generations, it's just been easier to kind of get along. And we have a Washington, D.C. that's just out of control now. I mean, the laws that they're producing out of there are insane.
Oh, it is insanity. It's psychotic, as a matter of fact. The mere question of, you know, can we fly lethal armed drones over people and potentially kill them without any due process or judicial process? Let's talk about that. Maybe we can. Can we? Oh, we're Homeland Security. We're the CIA. Well, these are all just little citizen slaves, you know. Well, of course we can.
Imagine the contracts for drones we can get now.
Oh, it is psychotic is the exact word. And you know, somebody was sharing with me the other day, I don't have the exact stats in front of me, but, you know, this whole discussion of gun control, right, and the Second Amendment, it's just a huge, you know, issue right now. More restrictions are coming down the pipeline purportedly. But there are already, I don't know how many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of laws on the federal books that aren't even enforced.
Right.
Already.
Yeah.
Not enforced.
And through ridiculous, to say it's bordering on treason is being very kind. The amount of guns that our government has given to enemies of the state, the drug cartels that for me are only about 100 miles away. I mean, that border is not that far. And they want to make it virtually impossible for the people to have guns. I mean, if they could, they would just take them all away, I think.
They being the statists. Let's make sure we know what we're talking about. There are those within government who I'm hopeful and you know, pray that there are some white hats in there that understand what we're talking about and agree.
Well, certainly are. I've had enough interaction with the highway patrol, the sheriffs, the judicial services here in California to know that there is, when you approach government very respectfully and knowledgeably and from a position that is a superior political position, I have been treated very honorably by local government.
Mm-hmm. And folks, you know, I would encourage you, I know a lot of people have a lot of detailed questions with regards to this and that and the other thing and how do I do this, how do I do that, and Corey has been extremely helpful to me on this show and otherwise. And I think that, Corey, I think it's fair to say that, you know, the barrier or the price of admission, if you will, okay, to get the level of detail that's not being discussed on the show live, is get your common law ID created, watch his video, get it done, email Corey a copy, a photo of it that you've got it done, and then he'll invite you on a private forum we've got going.
But there you go.
It deals with all these details and gets into the nitty gritty of next steps and so forth. But everything else is just talk. So we're going to be right back, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual,
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Common Sense Revisited. So, Corey, we have Tim holding on line one in Iowa. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Greetings.
Thanks for taking my call. This question's, I guess, partially for Corey, but maybe I have actually two questions for the listeners, maybe, to try and help each other out in understanding how they've engaged government and what kind of response they've gotten. My two topics are related to the first one's pretty straightforward, and that's the birth certificate. And many people will say that that is this artificial person. and that you're the man. And so I know of some people who've engaged government and gotten a birth certificate indicating that they're the agent for the birth certificate. And to my knowledge, that hasn't been rebutted. I'm wondering if anybody is engaged in government and the government has rebutted that, or if they've engaged government to get their birth certificate and said that they were owner of the birth certificate, and whether or not government rebutted that or accepted that.
Yeah, those are fascinating questions. That the listeners that hear those questions will expose some really interesting insight into what the birth certificate is, and getting that answer from government is really important.
And the other question I have, and this will roll up into, I guess, a third, if I might, is there is a means to apply for a passport if you do not have government-issued identification, such as a birth certificate and another passport or driver's license and so forth, to identify who you are. That requires an affidavit form, which is form DS-71, which currently I exercised and engaged government on that avenue. You cannot obtain that on the web, and the website for it's travel.state.gov directs you to go to essentially an accepting agency, which is your post office or some other passport processing location, to get a copy. And I did that in the last day or two, and they don't have any. In fact, they shared with me that they were instructed by, I don't know who instructed them, but they were instructed to destroy all of those forms immediately because they actually weren't approved by the OMB, or the OBM, I'm sorry.
Yeah, OMB, the
OMB.
OMB number on that for everybody, the basis for that is the Paperwork Reduction Act. Every document from government must have an OMB number on it.
So I followed the instructions that they gave me of how to acquire one, and in short, going through other government websites and so forth, there isn't one, to my understanding at the moment, that is approved for use. You can find a copy of one, but it doesn't have the expiration date on it. It just has XXXXX for the expiration date. And I believe, I'm assuming they won't accept that because they're only allowed to accept one with a certain expiration date listed on it. And so what my point is here is I'm wondering if anybody has engaged government to present themselves as one of the people, a man, to get a passport, indicating with a common law ID or some other type of form of identification, had an affidavit and someone to sign as a witness for them that they are a non-citizen national and if they've acquired a passport in that manner. And from that perspective, if anybody has insight as to any hidden agendas there at the government on the form of you receiving a benefit and somehow changing your status, I'll follow up on the break on why I asked that question.
Perfect.
Wow. A lot to think about there. Just a quick sidebar. Somebody sent me a note. Today is Thomas Jefferson's birthday, April 13th, 1743, 270 years ago.
Certainly a gift to all of us.
The Declaration of Independence was born. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Here at